Behind the Grind would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we and our guests are recording from, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Sovereignty was never ceded and Australia always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Behind the Grind podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Niharika.
And I'm Paige. Today is a great episode and we're joined by two lovely graduates from my workplace, Gilbert and Tobin. If you didn't know, G&T is a commercial law firm with offices in Sydney, Melbourne and Perth. And we, of course, recorded this episode from the Melbourne office.
This episode was extra fun for us because it was our first time recording in person and we just had such a great time. But anyway, that's enough from us. Let's get into the episode and have our guests introduce themselves.
I'm Zoe Stathis. I'm currently a graduate lawyer in the corporate advisory team at Gilbert and Tobin. This is my third and final rotation. My first rotation was in the transformation team, which forms part of G&T's legal service innovation team, and then the tech and IP team. I also had the opportunity to go on secondment, so my rotations have been a little bit broken up. I've had a few experiences outside of the firm.
And that's so cool.
Yeah. Looking forward to settling somewhere though.
Oh, exciting. How about you, Isabella?
Yeah, so I'm Isabella. I'm also in the same graduate program as Zoe, so the same year level. I'm currently in the employment team, which is predominantly run out of Sydney, but there are a couple of lawyers here in Melbourne. Before that, I did my first rotation in the disputes team. And then after that, in the competition and regulation team.
Lovely.
Super. We're going to come back to your secondment later. So we always start with a few like fun get to know you questions. And the classic one that we've always started with when we started our podcast was, what is your favorite coffee order and where would you go near the office to get your favorite coffee?
Love this question. My coffee order is an oat latte. I'm very picky about oat milks though.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Being an oat milk snob is kind of important though, because some of them are bad.
Yeah, they need to like foam correctly,
yes.
Right?
I have an oat latte, but I don't know enough about it. I just had an oat latte because she has an oat latte. I don't know the milk, so let's school me on the milk.
Some froth better than others, some froth like dish soap.
Oh, okay, good to know.
My go-to place is Peoples in Collins Street.
Good choice. The People's Choice.
Oh, witty pun.
I think my go-to coffee is just the classic flat white. Mm. It's reliable, but it's always good. And I reckon, not to be a coffee snob, but Market Lane.
Yeah.
It's just always good.
They do good coffees. Awesome. All right. Well, definitely got to ask you, how would your parents describe what you do? Maybe we'll start with you, Bella.
So my parents are both in the legal industry. Yeah. So that gives me a bit of a, like, they sort of generally know what lawyers do, but they work for the public sector. So because I work, in the commercial side, I think they would describe me as working for their version of the enemy. I'm very curious to hear what your answer is, Zoe.
Yeah, my parents don't know anything about the law except maybe like a plaintiff law firm ad. Having an ethnic family, my background is Greek, the relatives love to exaggerate. So I'm sure like me being a graduate lawyer has been translated to relatives in Greece as me being like a judge.
They're just foreshadowing the ethnic version of that.
That is not what
that's
I do.
So cute.
It's all right. And then the last sort of fun question that I thought I would ask you both, because you're both very put together humans, is do you have any little like productivity hacks or things that you do in like your personal or professional life to sort of help you, you know, get through the day or like sort out your weekends better or anything like that?
Yeah, two things. Everything goes in the calendar. Due dates, my personal life, work events, and then lists. Love a good list. Every morning get to work, start a new page in my notebook with the like date and everything that I need to get done that day.
Yeah. I love a list.
I vouch for both of those things.
What kind of like apps do you do that more for work, or do you do it in your personal life, or like both?
Both. I have my work calendar synced to my personal one, which you can do in the, you know, the iPhone.
That's
calendar
what mine is. And if it's not in my calendar, it doesn't exist and it's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. I can't get mine to click over. It's just so annoying. So I'm running off two calendars, which Paige will know. I cannot, like, I couldn't hate something more. But anyway.
Yeah, if you can sync them into one, it's
super helpful. Let's get on to questions about the grad program. What stood out about GNT for you that you started building?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. I had three really positive clerkship experiences. So the decision to choose GNT was really personal and was a bit of a gut instinct about how I felt when, you know, working in the team and my experience as a clerk. I clerked in the disputes team at a time where the team was over in a completely different building. And so at the start, I thought, how is this going to work? I'm going to feel like a bit of an outsider because I'm not connected to the rest of the firm. But I had the best clerkship experience. Aww. I felt so included in the team and I felt like a really valuable member of the team. And that's what sold it for me, is feeling like I brought value to the team and that I was valued by that team. So that's what made me choose GNT.
So lovely.
Good answer. Sort of similar to Bella. Definitely my decision to come to GNT was informed by having a really positive clerkship here. I think what kind of stood out to me, as opposed to the other firm I clerked at, was GNT was a bit smaller. And I really appreciated that I got the opportunity to get to know everyone in the team. Felt like I got to work with different people and partners that might do varied kind of work. And I kind of saw, like, future looking, I kind of saw career path at GNT where I could kind of like choose my own adventure in a way.
Which you've done.
Awesome. I've kind of been able to do already.
That's so good.
And I guess if you can think back to last year when you started, what were sort of the first few weeks like for you guys when you started, and how did you adjust to, I guess, working full-time out of uni in a corporate environment?
Yeah, such an adjustment. That is the key word. Yeah. Especially, I think it's really typical for grads to have like a break of some kind before starting full-time work. I think the thing that everyone kind of has to get used to when starting your grad program is all the training that you have to do up front. And it's almost like information overload. Yeah. I remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to retain all this, like how to save files to the document management system, record my time. But you learn on the job. And I wish I'd known that then, during all those training sessions where I just felt like I was exhausted by the end trying to remember everything.
That's so draining.
And write like all the detailed notes that I never ever referred to afterwards.
Yeah. 100%. I remember, I think at the start of the very start, you have about a week of just pure training, which is good and bad because it's sort of like dipping your toe in before you meet the team that you're starting in, and you get to meet the grads and it's social and fun. But I remember the first week when I properly started in like my first rotation, I was lucky because I paralegaled in that team, but I was so nervous. And there was so much to sort of get on top of, even with just like the different way things roll when you're a grad. But yeah, I was very nervous.
Yeah. That first week really takes it out of you. I slept for a full 48 hours that weekend. I was completely knocked out. So I would say don't make clients first weekend. Just chill.
I keep laughing too, because I was like saying to my mum the other day, I'm like, we're basically cheating full-time work at the moment because you start in March and there are so many public holidays. In the first 2 months.
That's
those first
true.
2 months. Until April. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen when they all stop and I actually have to go 5 days a week every week forever.
The adjustment to 5 days a week is a lot as well. And like, you know, you're starting as a grad, you're going to come in to the office as well 5 days a week, so you can get as exposed to as much as possible. So it's like with everything coming at you at all different angles, this is a lot.
You honestly think, like, how am I going to survive life like this? This is how I'm feeling now.
Like, and then your first weekend, and you're like,
oh. You're like, I can't do this. I'm not cut out. But you're
still here.
I feel like you become so much more intentional with your time, which I've also liked. Like, originally I was quite stressed. I was like, oh, my God, now I have to plan my weekends and I need to plan when I do things more, but it's also kind of nice to be able to plan those things a bit more.
Exactly. You become
have a routine.
Very, like, you do become very, like, purposeful, like, with the people you choose to see, like,
totally.
And when to have downtime.
All of it. All right, well, another question is kind of how rotation preferences work at your firm. So kind of what's the duration, how many, how do picking them go? Are there, I know I'm throwing a lot of questions at you, so pick what you want to answer out of them. And then also, are there any like strategies to doing them? Like, should you rotate in the team that you like most, last? How does the comment fit in it? So, yeah, maybe we'll start with you, Zoe.
I think the process for picking preferences for rotations was pretty straightforward. It was, we were sent out an email pretty close to when we were starting saying these are the five main practice groups. So corporate, banking, disputes, competition, tech, and IP. And then, and it was just said rank these like 1 to 5. And then there was also like a note that said, if you want to rotate in a specialist team, let us know. And we can see if we can try to accommodate that. So for me, that was the transformation team within the legal service innovation team at G&T, which is actually more of a business support team. It's not, it's legal, but it's not like a strictly legal 100% fee earning team. And I think in terms of G&T, I think you and I were both lucky that we got all our preferences.
Yeah. I think one of the big advantages of G&T is because you have smaller grad cohorts, generally about 10-ish, you have a much better chance of getting your preferences. And particularly if you communicate that, you know, you really want to have an experience in this particular group and for XYZ, you're really likely to get those, your preferences. And very rarely do people not get, you know, their first, second and third preference. I was very lucky as well to also have put my hand up for a somewhat specialist team as well. So you can express what you want to do and they'll generally accommodate it.
Yeah. I don't think we have the opportunity to say which order we want to rotate in.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's necessarily like an advantage or disadvantage.
Yeah.
From my perspective, the first rotation that I did, I don't think I would have been any better at it if I'd done it as my third rotation necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think that's, you know, personal to everyone.
I agree, because you really, when you start in a rotation, you really have zero knowledge of whatever that area of law is. You might know the general gist of how to use the internal like billing system, or, you know, you have a better knowledge of Microsoft Word or whatever it is, but your knowledge of the area itself is still going to be the same as first to third rotation. So I don't think there's a huge advantage.
I also did, in my preferences, say I don't want to go in corporate first because I have paralegal there and I want to start in a fresh team with fresh people in my grad cohort.
Yeah.
And that was accommodated for, I don't know if purely on the basis of fitting everyone in or upon my request, but nonetheless, it ended up the way that I wanted it to, which was good.
I'm going to ask as well, because you guys pick your rotations, like all three up front, right? Yeah. Did you feel like that was stressful? Is there like a chance to change them later? How does that kind of work? Because I think that that's kind of unique to you guys.
Yeah, I actually think it's a better way of going about it because you know up front where you're going to go and you're not stressing, you know, in your first one trying to think, okay, how am I going to secure my second rotation? And so you've got it sort of laid out for you. There is opportunity to swap it up if you want to, and grads in our cohort have done that. So it's easily done. I think you just need to flag it in advance if you want to do that and maybe reach out to someone in that team that you want to go into just so that you can say, I want to go to this team and I've spoken to this person and that's why.
Oh, super.
It's good though.
I really appreciate that we have our rotations kind of set out up front for us, though. It's definitely a lot less stressful coming to the end of one rotation. You're not worried about where you're going next or if you're going to get that team.
Yeah, no, I have some friends at other firms that have found out their rotation like a week before they move into the next team.
Yeah.
And they're always like on edge, like waiting to find out.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be like mentally prepared for where I'm going.
Exactly. I feel like then there's smoothing. Like, you've got to, like, while you're in one team, be like meeting up for coffees with, I don't know, if it's a really popular team. I've heard horror stories.
I think it's also made easier because it's only really the five main practice groups to pick from.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we've said, there are like sub teams that you can preference, but just there just being five, you only have to really kind of cut away two.
Yeah. Before we move on, sorry, can we ask about secondment as well?
Yeah.
And how that all
came about
and how it kind of fit with your rotations, because you said that it had to
sandwich.
Yeah.
So the secondment was a little bit unusual, I think, not just for any grad program, but I think for G&T. So the way that kind of came about is in my first rotation in the transformation team, I had the opportunity to work on a pretty significant client project throughout the rotation, which meant that the client knew who I was, they knew the team really well. And then when I was in my second rotation, they had reached out to the partner of the Legal Service Innovation or LSI team asking for a secondee for about 3 months just to support them on their internal legal innovation projects. And that partner nominated me to go just because I'd had that experience working with a client, working on this really significant internal project for them. So, yeah, I was really fortunate that I got that recognition really early on. I was lucky in how it fit into the rotations. It came at the perfect time where I'd already had about a month in the tech and IP team before going on secondment. I was gone for about 2.5 months and then I actually was able to come back and complete the rest of my second rotation. I figured if it had happened at another time, maybe at the beginning or towards the end, or if it was for a longer period of time, it might have been something I would have had to kind of reconsider whether it was appropriate going, because it's not like I got to make up that time that I missed while I was away. But yeah, it was a really good experience. I feel like I did really good work for the client, and the client was also a good partner for the tech and IP team, so it was good to kind of get insight from that perspective too.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And at least the LSI team and the tech team sit near each other in our office. So it's like you're in the same spot even when you're on secondment.
Did you come into the office?
Yeah, I did. So the client, they worked from home a lot.
Yeah.
It was a full-time secondment, but I went physically into their office 2 times a week. There's so many good events here that we have. So I'd often come in and work.
Yeah.
Come in and work on a Friday from the G&T office and just do my secondment work from my desk.
It's nice that you can do both, because I feel like it might be a bit of a scary process just as a grad to go and sit in the client's office the whole time. Like, it's nice to kind of come back to your own environment and do both.
Exactly. Like, there were things that I didn't want to miss out on, which might sound silly, but stuff like I didn't want to miss out on the like team drinks because, you know, those only happen once a month and you're only there for a short time.
Yeah.
Or like us as grads, we all hang out quite a bit. So, you know, good to be around your friends.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, 100%. You don't want to feel isolated from everyone on secondment.
Yeah. 2 months is a good time, though. I feel like that's like solid enough that you've got that experience and you can walk away and you've really gained something.
Yeah.
But also not too long, like you said, where it's the entire bit of your rotation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds very good. And now the fun question about PLT. Woo. How does PLT fit in with the G&T grad program?
Yeah, so you do PLT during your graduate rotation. You do about a week of intensive PLT before becoming a grad. After that, it's just done sort of concurrently. It is scarier than it looks. You get a lot of assignments which make it look like you've got a lot to do, but if you actually look at the assignments, they tend to be quite manageable and you're able to sort of work through it with like your grad group, and you do it all together. So you've got this sense of collegiality.
We've got study days as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we have 10 days to get work done or prepare for assessments.
Mm.
So that's time off work to prepare for PLT assessments, which definitely came in handy. I didn't manage to use all of mine. Did you use all of yours?
I nearly did. You should definitely use them.
Going on from PLT, the admission process, do you have any advice on preparing for your admission and how the actual day goes when you get there?
Yeah, I think to prepare, you've just got to advance message if you've ever received like a speeding fine or whatever it is, you've just got to in advance message councils, and I think it's request some sort of like police report, and they tend to take up the most amount of time. But otherwise, it's pretty straightforward process. I think PLT provides a checklist. Yeah. They have a guide about what documents you need.
We had a session with PLT where they told us what we would need to do to start preparing for that.
Awesome.
And the messaging was like, start as soon as you can. Start requesting your police checks as soon as you can.
A ridiculous amount of time to get them.
But we always end up doing them.
Yeah.
Last minute anyway.
The actual ceremony. Like, I feel like you always hear about admission and you see people taking photos outside, but it's like a secret understanding of what goes on inside that no one like really knows.
Like a firm thing as well. Like, do you go with your whole firm? Like,
yeah, so
it'll happen.
Because our grad group is small in comparison to other grad groups, we were able to all be admitted on the same day, and it was pretty well just our grad group and a couple of other people ceremony. So it starts off, you have to elect someone to move you, which typically people get someone from the firm, and it is a huge honour for anyone who is chosen.
Oh.
Or you can get anyone outside of the firm. And so the lot of you will go, I don't know what happened, I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's a blur.
It is a blur. Yeah, it's a really good day because it's a bit different to graduation in the sense that you become something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you receive this piece of paper, but it says like you're a lawyer now.
Yeah.
Basically. The day's really special. Our ceremony was pretty small, and most of the people being admitted were from our cohort. So it was nice to kind of watch each of us like one by one
have their moment,
be moved, do their like affirmation or oath. And you can invite people to come watch you, and they sit like in the gallery up above, so I could see my parents like staring at me.
It was actually really special to see as well, like who other people had brought and who those are generally the people that have a meaningful impact on their life.
Yeah, and had like supported them through their studies and everything.
Yeah.
You mentioned like movers, it's really special. So I asked my old boss where I used to paralegal, and that was like really special for him. Yeah. He had said to me he hadn't moved anyone's admission before. Oh. But it was important for me to ask him because that had supported my legal career.
The celebration after the ceremony and after everyone's sort of gone out for nice long lunches, and they have drinks and everyone in the firm is invited, and it's a really special event.
Yeah, definitely feels like a very like significant day.
That's lovely. Something to look forward to. We'll move on to our last question then, which is just what project management strategies place that you use at work. Like previous answers we've had are people that use like OneNote religiously and Outlook tasks and all of those kinds of things, even if they're not apps and tools, they're just like particular things you do when you maybe start a new matter or you get briefed that, you know, I guess our listeners can use or do when they start in their roles.
Yeah, something I do which I found really useful is if I'm given a task to draft a particular document or particular letter or whatever, I will look at previous versions of that letter, and you can simply just ask the lawyer who's assigned you the task whether they've previously done a similar document that they can provide you, and that way you just have a general idea of the style, the format, and how to sort of approach that task, and also the things to look out that other people have identified in previous versions of that document. And I found that's really just helped me get a sense of how to approach different tasks.
That's a really good response. Asking people for examples is so helpful. For me, when I'm being briefed, I love to jot down absolutely every single word into a OneNote note as just sort of like a file note just for myself to refer to. Just get all that little bit of ground detail that you'll need for the matter. I probably wouldn't use OneNote, though, for my task. I'm still very much like a pen and paper. I write out everything I need to do.
Yeah, I think OneNote's great. I use OneNote.
The competition team is like all over OneNote. They love it. And I'm like,
Oh, I need training because I don't know how to do this.
I'm the same. I'm like, I'm intimidated by this.
Yeah, like, creative stuff with it. But yeah, I'm like, I'm not a creative person.
Yeah, I'm like, I have too many tabs in tabs.
And on the sidebars, like, sub thing, like sub pages. I'm like, oh gosh.
Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of setting up your own OneNote.
Mm. Yeah.
I've looked at other people's templates and they look amazing. And I've definitely like been inspired by them. But there is no way, just knowing how my brain works, that I can fit that into someone else's perfect OneNote template. Like, I'm too messy for that.
Yeah, you've got to have your own system.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
That's all of our questions. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Behind the Grind podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more about Gilbert and Tobin, we have 3 other episodes with them in each of our previous seasons, with lots of useful tidbits and other delightful guests.
That's right. G&T have been a proud supporter of Behind the Grind from the start, so you can head right back to season 1 to hear more about the firm. Don't forget to keep up with our new episodes by subscribing to Behind the Grind wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. That is all from us, and we will be back next week with new content.